Good, we on? We're good to go. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We got a full house today. We are so thrilled and excited to be in church this morning. I'm excited about the lesson today. Last week was a bit of an emotional roller coaster, and I'm super excited about today. We're so excited to have all the visitors with us this morning for here for John and Dee's wedding. And we're so thankful for the testimony that they bring that you can still do things right, even though the world says otherwise. So we're thankful for their testimony. A few things I want to talk about before we really get started is we are going to have our fifth Sunday fellowship after the morning service. We would love for you, for everyone here to stay and come and have a meal and get to fellowship with each other. It's really a good time where church folk get to spend time with each other, better than going out and having dinner with your family. I'm just kidding. The other thing is, we're starting something new with our prayer requests. This is really for church folk here. Unless you have a prayer request you want us to pray for, fill it out. Turn it in the offering box out back there by the door, and we'll get it on our prayer sheet for Wednesday night, and we will take prayer requests. We take prayer requests very seriously. Before I get started with the lesson this morning, I do want to talk a little bit about last week and why it was a bit of an emotional ride. The point of this series of what we're talking about is it's not what you think. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And typically how we think life should be is not how God wants it to be, is not how God has made it to be. So with trusting and obeying in the first lesson, it doesn't matter what God tells us to do. We are told to trust and obey, no matter what the circumstances. There were a few examples we saw, but that's what God wants us to do. Then with the second lesson of dying to self and accept the seed be buried and die, it cannot bring forth fruit. And you can count the seeds in an apple, but you can't count the apples in a seed. Why this is so important, or why it was so emotional for me, is because with Sunday school, with doing this, I want to live what I tell you. It's something that I desire to do. I don't want to be somebody that stands up here and tells you something that I myself am not doing. So when we got to that lesson of dying to self and picking up our cross and following after Christ, it's something that was hard, or it's something trying to do was hard. But with other things in life that you are unsure how to do, the more you practice it, the better at it you get. And the reason why it was emotional is because trying to live that out, I failed. I failed sometimes in the process of doing it. It's that idea of dying to my own beliefs and my own desires and the things that I want, and being in full submission to what God's will is for my life, we fail at. And often we fail at it often sometimes. And the reason, like I said about that, is I don't want to stand up here and tell you that this is what you should do, but I myself am not following it. We saw that in James, be doers of the word and not hearers only. And the example that was given was someone looking into a mirror. And I don't want to be somebody that comes up here and says, hey, take a look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. This is things that you need to change. But I myself am not willing to look in the mirror myself. So that's really the my desire for this, is I want to practice. And these lessons that it gives, the curriculum is very good about showing us things in our lives, how we view things, the way we view things, are not how God sees them. So I am super excited. I'm very excited to get into this next lesson. And what better lesson to go into after a wedding than about trials and tribulations? It's perfect. So if you have your paper, all the verses we're going to look at are on that little blue paper you have. Look with the first passage with me. James chapter 1, Bible says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to open your word, God. Thank you for the men here and the example that they bring. God, I pray that you open our hearts to your word. I pray that you be with Pastor in the message this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In our life and how we want to live, we would all, I can say this 99.99% sure, that we would all choose to live problem-free if we had our way. Who's ready for a problem? Not me. I work in construction, and the best thing that could ever happen is a job goes perfect. But that almost never happens. There's always something that comes up that ruins it. We would all choose to live that way. However, in our Christian life, with the absence of trials, we never learn to grow. God uses these experiences, the trials that we go through, to grow us in our faith. However, when these things come, when these trials come our way, we will often, most times in our situation, focus on the negative part of it, rather than what God is trying to accomplish through it. The book of James was written to Jewish Christians who were scattered abroad under persecution. And when I read the Bible and I try to picture what's happening, you have these people that are under persecution, and they get a letter. And they're excited to get a letter. It's from James. We're going through all this stuff. We're dealing with all these problems. He's going to give us encouragement. He's going to tell us something good. Everything's going to be better. All these problems are going to go away. It's going to be a good thing. And they get the letter, and they open it up. They rip it open, and they look. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus. We know who you are, James. To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, my brethren. He says something to start it off. Something that we wouldn't normally think. Count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. James tells them something that they probably weren't expecting. That their suffering could actually bring them growth. There's a few words that we're going to look at in this passage. The word count in verse 2 really means to consider. To consider this a joyful thing. Consider this a good thing. The word temptation means testing or trial. Knowing this, or my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And the word perfect in verse 4 means complete. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect, let her have her complete work, that ye may be complete, perfect, and entire, wanting nothing. When we as Christians enter a season of testing, we do two things. We draw closer to God, or we walk away from God. Our natural response when we go through these things, when bad things happen, when God allows these trials to come into our life, is to question Him and cry in our misfortune. Why do I have to... Does God know everything? God already knows you're going through this before you're crying about it. We usually do not rejoice when these things come. I can't tell you the last time that I was excited or I was happy, or could be happy when something unfortunate or bad was going on, when a trial was coming in. However, in this passage, we're told to consider these trials as a joy. We are to consider them a reason for gladness, even though we don't like them. God uses trials to put our faith to the test. They ultimately bring good in our lives and are God's way of maturing us spiritually. The mother of a brain-injured child wrote these words, "We would have called our daughter's handicap the greatest tragedy of our lives if it were not for the fact that through it we came to know the Lord much better. Words cannot fully express our disappointment when our little girl failed to experience normal mental development. Yet her condition made us understand just a bit about how our dear Savior must feel when His children do not mature spiritually. The Lord knows that heartaches, if properly accepted, will enrich our lives in a way that could not happen otherwise. Strengthened in the inner man, we come through our trials bigger and better Christians and with a new and brighter testimony." In our Christian life, in our walk with God, we are going to experience trials. We don't have to love them, we don't have to like them, but we do need to learn from them. And we can be joyful in these trials when we understand that there's a deeper purpose for them. There's a deeper purpose for why I'm going through this particular circumstance. God is using this to grow me spiritually. And if I trust and obey Him and die to myself, die to what I believe, how I believe, I can know that through this trial, through this testing, that I can grow in the Lord. We often will refer to trials as storms. There's a storm in my life that I'm going through. Or we'll typically call it a valley or on the mountaintop. This morning, we're going to look at three reasons why we can rejoice through the trials in our lives. The first one, this is your first point on your lesson, the grow up storm. Trials give opportunity for me to grow. God desires to strengthen us in areas where we are weak, and trials are one of the best ways to accomplish this. He seeks to bring us to the point of a greater likeness to Himself and greater usefulness in His work. We often don't know what areas we need to grow in. There's areas in our life where we think we're okay. I'm good here. I don't need any help here. But that's not how God sees it. There's a where I work, there's a gentleman. He's a very nice guy. That's what I'll say about him. And when I first started working for the company, he didn't really like me for whatever. I thought he was my friend when I went into this company because I knew him. I helped him start his own business. It ended up not working out for him. He ended up going to work there. So when I started working with him, I thought, oh, okay, I already know somebody here. He's a friend of mine. Well, he wasn't that great. He wasn't very pleasant. He tried to make me lose my job the first few weeks I was there. Then he became my friend after that. I thought, okay, this is all good. Everything's great. And it was like that for a year and a half. And then all of a sudden, he instantly turned again to where he was trying to get me to lose my job. And it was so bad that I almost quit because I was tired of dealing with it. I didn't want to deal with it anymore. And I thought, why do I have to go through this? God, why is this guy like, why do I have to deal with this? Why? And I believe now looking at it, that time was to teach me how to deal with certain people. He would go out of his way to cause problems, to cause division, to make me lose my job. And I was driving on my way to work. He works at our one specific location, and I'd never wanted to go there. I'd rather stay home than go there, because he's there and he'd cause problems. And I was on my way there, and I was praying. I said, you know, I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to tell him, look, I have been avoiding you, and that's not how I'm supposed to be. I shouldn't be that way. I'm not treating you the way that I'm supposed to treat you. So whether you want to or not, treat me the same way. I have to do what's right. And when I got there, he came over, shook my hand, said, hey, how you doing, buddy? It's been a while. I haven't seen you around here. And it all went away. It all went away, just like that. Through that time, and this was a good 3 months, through that time, God was working on me to deal with that situation. And I didn't like it. It was a trial. I think it really was a test. But it taught me something. On the backside of it, I'm glad that happened, because on the backside, I learned something from it. We often think we know ourselves. We often think we know ourselves or what is good for us. But the truth is, we really don't. God knows us better than we know ourselves, and He uses trials to reveal who we are and what we need to grow. I found this fascinating. The last time Pastor Nathan was here, he was with our Vacation Bible School. I believe that was the last time you were here. And the theme was Jonah, talking about Jonah. And I was reading this, and it's funny that this is the first person that it brings up here is Jonah. That's who we're going to look at this morning. Look at, in your blue paper, it has the scripture, Jonah 1:1 through 5. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. When Jonah realized that the storm was sent for him, and that there was no relief in sight, he told the sailors to throw him overboard. Even at this point, Jonah was still unwilling to surrender to God. It continues on. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. So they took up Jonah, and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Although every storm is not brought into our lives by disobedience, this was the case for Jonah. But I want you to notice God's mercy to Jonah in sending the storm. Rather than God giving up on his rebellious prophet, he brought Jonah to a place of repentance and surrender. Whatever the area of growth we may need, it is the mercy of God that allows it to be revealed through the trials and the storms of our life. Jonah may have thought that he was doing great because he was serving God as a prophet. But what Jonah didn't see, what Jonah was missing, was that he had a limit to what he was willing to do for God. He had a point to where I'm willing to do all of this, but this would be too much. And Jonah didn't know it was there until God told him to go to Nineveh, cry against it, go preach to these people. And when that happened, Jonah said, I'm not willing to pick up that cross and go and follow. I'm going to go the complete opposite direction from what you say. It wasn't until the storm came that Jonah saw how dependent he was on God for everything. When God brings a storm into our lives that reveals our need for growth, He does it because He loves us and He's giving us the opportunity to receive His strength. When a trial comes, when a season of testing happens, we get to experience God do something great, something that we wouldn't otherwise see. When we are in submission to what God wants, and we go through these trials, God, we give God the opportunity to show us how great He is and the great things He can accomplish. The next point down in your paper is, trials grow me in receiving strength. After Jonah was tossed into the sea, he found himself in the belly of a great fish and in desperate need of God's delivering power. He had run away from God and His will. Now, stranded in a fish's belly in the depths of the sea, he was depleted of his strength and helpless. Humbled in his condition, Jonah chose to call out to God for deliverance. Brother Jonathan, would you read Jonah 1:17, please?
Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights.
Jonah 2:1-4 says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and Thou heardest my voice. For Thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All Thy billows and Thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of Thy sight, yet I will look again toward Thy holy temple. But I will sacrifice unto Thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah realized that his preservation had come from God and that God was merciful in not killing him for his rebellion. He knew that God had the power to rescue him from the situation he was in, and he cried out to Him for help. And God listened to his cry. Brother Matthew, would you read Jonah 2:10, please? Lamentations 3:22 says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Growth in our Christian life does not come about from a life of ease and comfort. The pain of trials trains us to trust in God and fully rely on Him. Although trials are often unwelcome trouble, they are necessary and ultimately good. A young man worked hard to establish himself as a peach grower. Kind of an odd profession. I think his name was James. After months of intense labor, he was pleased to see his peach orchard blossom beautifully. One day, however, an unexpected frost killed all of his peaches. The man began to skip church one Sunday after another, and his pastor decided to pay him a visit to find out why he was for his absence. The young man exclaimed, "I'm not going to church anymore. How can I worship a God who cares so little for me that he'd let a frost destroy all my peaches?" This story is kind of funny, but it's very true. There's when we go through bad things in our life, we'll often blame God and leave him, rather than trusting that the reason we're going through this is to help grow us in him. The old minister paused in silence, looking at the man with gentle eyes, and said tenderly, "God loves you more than he does your peaches. He knows that while peaches do better without frost, it is impossible to grow the best men without frost. His object is to grow men, not peaches." Number two on your paper is the wake-up storm. Trials provide opportunity for God to show. Mark 4:35 says this, "And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? The disciples responded in a way that we normally respond when a storm comes in our life. God, do you care about me? Are you even here? Do you even care? And there's times where you read these stories and you think that Jesus was on the ship with them. If the ship was going to sink, Jesus was going to sink too. And they were terrified. Don't you care about us? There's times where you read these stories and you want to walk up to the disciples and just smack them. Like, don't you get it? Are there people that you're excited to go see in heaven? I can't wait because I want to mean mug Eve. And no, I'm just kidding. But you see, like, how did you not realize that Jesus was there with you in the whole time? But that's the case with us sometimes when we're going through things in our lives. We will cry, "Are you even here? Do you even care?" But he's there with us. He promises never to leave us or forsake us. Though our storms rage and we feel all alone and helpless, the truth is that God is right by our side in the storm and he wants to help us. The next point below that is trials show me that he cares. We so often question whether God actually cares for us in difficult times, even though he resides in us and is with us always. We have a natural tendency to look at the problem and not at the God who is above the problems. He has already promised in his word to be with us and to help us. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." When we fix our eyes on the storm instead of the Savior, we will begin to doubt and question whether or not God cares. Instead, God wants us to turn our gaze towards him. He wants to reveal his great care for us in our deepest times of need. The greater our trial, the greater the demonstration of his divine care. The lyrics of the hymn, "Does Jesus Care?" by Frank E. Graff, are a reminder of God's care for us in the midst of difficulty. Graff penned these words after a difficult season in his own life, through which he struggled with doubt and physical pain. During this time, however, he turned to God's word and found comfort in 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The song is based off of this verse. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Christ cared for the disciples even though he allowed the storm. When the storm came and the disciples found him asleep, they felt abandoned. But what they didn't know was that the storm was set up for a mighty work that Christ was going to do. We're going to stop here this morning. When we go with these trials and temptations, we know that we can trust that God is using them to do something bigger and better in our lives, to bring us to a point to where we can fully trust in Him and we can see Him do a great work in our lives through these trials and temptations. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for everything you do for us. Thank you for the opportunity to open your word. I pray that you'd be with the sermon this morning, God. Be with Pastor as he opens his word. I pray that you'd give us a great day. God bless the fellowship that we're going to have. In Jesus' name we pray.